everybody.
Hello, Internet. Jay's not with us because this is what happens every week, and Alan pretends to be surprised.
I know.
And we're not talking about you.
Yeah, I... And there he goes.
See, he needs to have Skype open. This seems to be the sticking point.
Jay is officially an old dog.
Skype is not open.
Oh, my Lord.
Jay, Skype needs to be open. It won't ring if you don't have it there.
And playing the Squirrel Report Village idiot, JJ.
Aww, he tries so hard.
That's what makes him an idiot. If that's the hardest he can try.
Oh dear,
dude's got a fucking master's degree.
I know. Well, you know, not everybody's an expert at everything.
I am.
I know. Besides you.
Ask me about anything. If I don't know, I'll fucking lie.
You'll make it sound good.
That's right.
I'm going to try calling him once more.
Oh, my goodness. Like at Jason Karen in the chat. He says, Jay is having connection troubles. Impossible.
Yeah.
It's like a weekly thing. It's cute.
I will point out that Rita never seems to have a problem with it.
What?
The Skype on the iPhone.
Because I have the thing open. I don't know.
Can we just vote this greasy wop off the island already? I've never
liked
it. Damn, weird. Weird's bringing the hurt.
Because everyone knows I love Jay. Carnally.
Ouch.
Well, that's what he said.
Oh, I see. That's the arrangement you have.
Yep. He's the girl.
Yeah, it says Skype says he's online, but when I call, he doesn't answer.
Sabotaged. Oh, poor Jay is saying, fuck this. Oh.
Jay, go get your son.
Yeah, maybe the junior can figure out the phone.
That's right.
No. So how are you tonight, Weird?
I am good.
Yeah?
It is another Thursday.
Excellent. It is Thursday. I had a long day.
I did too, but it's over now.
What did you do at work today? Was there any, rat decapitation or...
I didn't decapitate any, no. We were gonna kill one off because he screwed up some stuff really awful, and
No. Go back.
Okay.
What does screwing things up really awful imply? Like, well, what would a rat have to do?
Without giving away too much proprietary information, happened to have a very expensive piece of hardware mounted on him to monitor his body functions, and he found a way to chew through the harness that was holding it on. And completely ruined this piece of hardware.
That doesn't sound like it's the rat's fault. I mean, it's a rat. No. What do you expect?
I would be killing that rat.
Yeah, that's a smart rat.
That's a badass rat.
Technically speaking, he's kind of already a clone, but...
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're right.
But he's in the naughty chair, and the people that built the harness are coming over next week. And we'll kill him then and pull the hardware out.
The naughty chair.
Poor ratty.
They're lab rats. They do kind of live a wretched existence.
But Mr. Beatus is still alive, right? And happy at some rat farm?
In a rat farm, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Brita, pick a state that's awesome.
New Mexico.
He is in New Mexico. How did you know?
Is that where they have the rat farms for rats?
Well, that's where we farmed out our rat retirement home.
Aww. So he's happy and he's like kind of in the temperate zone, so he doesn't have to worry.
That's right. And he's really, really, really fat.
Yes, and he can just drag around his big testicles.
That's right. He drags his balls around.
diabetes.
That's kind of a tough lot in life. I'm really glad my balls don't touch the ground when I walk.
The funniest picture I ever saw was like a rat trying to get out of the bars, and he had gotten out of the bars except for his testicles.
Ouch!
Stuck with his testicles through the bars. It was very funny.
Well, it happens sometimes. Your balls go to jail.
I guess so. I don't have that problem.
I guess
no, you don't, Brita. You absolutely positively do
thank
not.
Thank you, God.
Thank you for that wonderful little biology lesson. Everybody, Brita does not have testicles.
I do not. My mother can verify. Hi, Mom.
My mom doesn't listen to the show.
I know. You're so lucky. I always have in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh my God, my mom's listening. But then I'm like, yeah, I know. But then I'm like, it's my mom. And she see me drunk a lot.
Jay, yeah, are you there?
I don't really worry too much. I know my parents read my blog, and sometimes I go, oh, and then I realize... Everybody knows that it's not like Weird Beard is some internet persona.
No, it's what you see is what you get.
It's not like when I'm having Sunday dinner over at my parents' house, it's any different than a vicious circle.
Oh, I guess Jay gave up.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, well.
Well, rats.
Oh, well.
We lost Jay.
Let's call his boy.
If anyone would like to be our co-host for the evening, feel free to Skype and let Alan know that you're on Skype.
This is like those fantasy movies where the rock star hurts his hand and they call the greatest fan out of the crowd to come take over for him.
Oh yeah, that's what it is.
It's like a choose your own adventure book. Anyway,
yeah.
We had topics for this evening.
Yes.
I really wasn't sure. Jay was the one who wrote the post for today. Yeah, and
ironically.
And now he's not here.
Or I guess not ironically.
Quitter.
No. Madonna thinks it's ironic.
Yeah.
Actually, it was interesting this week, the whole ironic thing, because Madonna kind of revealed herself not knowing the definition of the word.
Most people don't.
Yeah. No, most people don't, but she came out and said, I guess at a concert, that, hooray, we have a black Muslim in the White House, you know, and then the day after, everybody's like, holy shit, what did she just say? And then, you know, she's like, I was speaking ironically. No, honey, you weren't. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then she threatened to strip, and if Barack Obama won the election,
yeah.
You know, give me more incentive not
vote
to vote
for Romney.
Oh, God.
I don't want to see that.
No, you know, I've got to say, you know, Madonna, you know, back when she was in her prime, really wasn't all that hot. And now that now that she's like totally banged up and
banged up,
got some hard city miles under her belt.
Oh, Lordy.
It's not getting any better.
Jay says he's rebooting his phone.
Good.
So hopefully. Last week he rebooted his phone and he was fine.
Yep.
So maybe that's the trick.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's like casting a magic spell. You have to hope everything kind of aligns, the stars align, Skype and the iPhone and everything else. Yeah. So
yeah.
Are you going to play the music?
Well, I was kind of waiting on Jay to get here, or to see if he was going to get here.
You know, I bet if you play the music, it'll make things better for Jay.
You think? Yeah.
Of
all right. Well, let's go ahead and get this started. Let's see if I can do this without screwing it up. Hey, look at that. It's Thursday, September 27, 2012. Time for the Squirrel Report. Woohoo!
Yay.
By the way, Alan, if you had told me to do the date, I would have said it's Wednesday, August 23rd.
It's not. You are.
And I don't care if August 23rd isn't a Wednesday. One of them was.
Your clock is really off.
Yeah, I missed the goddamn train. Had to wait for the next train. That sucked.
Okay, let's try Jay again.
Preparing for failure, sir.
And we had failure.
I think Jay needs to have a seance with his modem or whatever.
He needs to go get his son up.
There he is. Is he there?
Yay!
Is it working?
Yay! Excellent.
Three times, like it connected, woo! And I could hear you guys, and then it just boom, shut off.
Hey Jay, is the boy up?
Oh yeah.
All right. You know what? You need to get him next time. Because he's obviously the bright shining light in the family G home.
Thank God Jay's here.
Now,
by the way, I want to say again publicly just how much I really enjoyed your son's last video, Jay. I think the last time I watched a football game was before he was born. And I sat there completely entranced and watched the whole thing and went, shit, he's got some really good points about these things that I really didn't think I cared about.
Do you care about them now?
No. Not when he's not talking to me about them.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah.
But the next time I'm over to Jay's house, if he pulls out the pink pigskin and starts tossing it around, fuck me, I'm going to talk football.
Well, see, that's the thing is a lot of these sports that I have absolutely no interest in are kind of actually fun to play.
Right.
Like, I've always enjoyed throwing the football and I've always enjoyed playing baseball and stuff like that, but I hate watching it. So, you know.
Well, it's, you know, it's more fun to do. Watching is like,
yeah,
paint dry.
Yeah.
You know what my favorite sport is? Does anybody know?
Boxing.
Yes. Cable boxing.
Boxing.
More fun to do than to watch.
Do you box, Brita?
Boxing would be more fun to watch.
But I would love to.
Yeah, I'd hate to get in the ring and get beat up.
I don't know.
I couldn't be a boxer.
No?
No, because the whole killing them in the ring would really tend to put a damper on things.
Jay would have an Owen Pitt moment.
Yeah, it's one of the... It's one of those things I learned a long time ago that I've got walk away and kill, and there's no setting in between. And the trick is to not be in a situation where it goes to the bad.
See, Jay, your big problem is you're not a boxer. You're a brawler.
Yeah, that's the difference.
I've got nothing to... If you think I'm a pussy, I don't care. I don't give a rat's ass what people think.
And Jay, just to say, just the brawlers in boxing tend to only do well in their early 20s. So,
yeah,
so
exactly.
it might not be a good idea for you to step into the ring.
Well, you know, you can make okay. Here's a perfect cross sport analogy. You know, there's, you know, boxing, the sport of boxing. Is not street fighting, just like the sport. A lot of shooting sports are not, you know, gunfight.
Right.
But
and also like a lot of karate.
Right. But just like somebody who is really good at the shooting sports and somebody who is really good at boxing, I don't want to go up against them in the street either.
Right.
Just
true.
Well, I mean,
not a good idea.
It also goes to the fact that you know. Johnny takes his gun out to the range, you know, once a month, blows through 100 rounds, goes home, cleans it, you know, but carries every day. Chances are, you know, when the ball drops, they're going to do pretty well. And they're certainly probably going to do better than the police.
Right.
You know, statistically speaking. And well, the same thing goes,
though.
Yeah. Oh, well, but, you know, but it's...
You didn't kill anybody with a pen today.
But
the, you don't know that.
But meanwhile, you know, the people that do all this action shooting, I mean, they're just... That's a ridiculous amount of skill. And while not all of it 100% translates into shooting skills, is they can hit little teeny tiny targets while on the move and while it's moving and all of that. And that works out well. And, you know, the same thing goes with the, you know, what's Lennox Lewis, 50 right now?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to put him. I wouldn't want to.
Oh, no, he could kill someone with his bare hands, even at age 50.
Yeah.
Cause he knows the sport. It's not about, he's not like Tyson, you know, Tyson in his last trip to the ring, where it's just one of those things of the, he was going off of his, you know, young, dumb, full of cum and complete brute force. And then suddenly when the brute force dried up as he got older, suddenly he had nothing and he just got the shit kicked out of him.
Well, he bit ears too, you know.
Well, he bit ears because he lost his temper because he was losing. I mean, he had already lost that match when he bit Holyfield's ear off. But he was deciding that, you know what, I'm not the one that loses. I'm Iron Mike. And so he bit the guy's ear off, and boy, didn't that show him. Oh, you win.
Yeah. Hey, our call-in number is 214-530-0036, and we like it when people call in.
And what are people calling in about, Alan?
We really like it when people call in. Our call-in topic today, believe it or not, kind of segues right into what we've been talking about.
That's right.
We want to hear your stories about being prepared or unprepared for shit, you know, when the shit hits the fan. And it can be any shit and any fan. We're not really particular about that.
We are not fan specific.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes shit happens, and it can be as little as a blowout on the highway, you know, or it can be, you know, something a lot worse.
Yeah. Zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, you never know. It can happen.
You know, that little graphic going around Facebook is very true. The hardest part about the zombie apocalypse will be pretending I'm not excited. we'll be not going, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Jay will be doing the happy dance.
Woohoo!
Zombie apocalypse.
That was like, I knew a guy who was... hardcore Caribbean Catholic, and he mentioned something about the rapture, and I mentioned the fact that I was pissed off that it didn't happen. And pointed out specifically, I was a non-believer, and you know what? It was a good idea not to be a non-believer, because you know what? If I was some of God's chosen people and the rapture happened, I'd miss all the good parts of the Bible.
Uh-oh.
All right. Well, can we round table up about our various stories that might segue, as they say in
sure.
Segue.
Go ahead, weird. You start.
Well, I mean, I've got a few. I've told a million times about me personally. One of the best, like, oh fuck, I wasn't ready for that. Was the big ice storm, and I thought I'd fill up my gas tank in New Hampshire, and it turned out New Hampshire didn't exist that day.
Oops.
The state of New Hampshire was closed for lack of interest.
Yeah, and so I realized I was in, like, the northern wastelands of New Hampshire where there's goddamn nothing up there. And I had, like, a quarter tank of gas. It was goddamn cold out, and I didn't know where I was going to be able to fill up my gas tank next. And I knew that I couldn't call for help because all the cell towers were down. But another interesting story is I just heard from my parents. They were at the AARP convention. Go them in their little liberal ways. Mm-hmm. And though my dad was unimpressed at the people that booed Paul Ryan, he said that right there. He goes, that was just bullshit. He was not pleased that, and he said they were nuts for trying to boo him. And they were in Jackson Square in New Orleans, and my dad was taking picture of my mom in front of the big church there, and a guy walked up and said, "Oh, I'll take the picture for you." My dad said, "Okay," and handed over the camera. The guy took the picture, and then he said, "It's a dollar for me taking the picture."
Yeah.
And thankfully, Dad handed him over a buck, and that was the end of the confrontation. But I'm like,
did you Did your father check his pockets? Because New Orleans is rife with pickpockets.
That wasn't specifically stated, but it also wasn't specifically stated that his wallet was missing. And I suspect that would have come up in conversation.
Yeah.
And
situations like that, it's like the whole, you go to New York City. I don't know if they do this anymore, but the last time I was in New York City, they did the whole squeegee thing on your windshield you're stopped in traffic.
Yeah, they still do that.
And they ask for money to clean your windshield.
Yeah. What's his name?
And you're trapped.
Giuliani. You know? Giuliani was real good about getting rid of those guys. And
yeah, well, Bloomberg.
Now Bloomberg's let them all come back. So,
but he's good at getting rid of the 28-ounce sodas.
Yeah.
You can't get a 28-ounce soda.
The dastardly soda.
Yeah, they walk up and smear shit all over your windshield and then say, hey, I'll clean that off for you.
Yeah. It's one good thing about towing mirrors. You can knock them right the fuck down with those things. Or so I've heard.
Yeah. How about you, Brita?
What?
Well, we're doing a radio show here.
I know. I had a story...
She wasn't prepared.
She's not prepared. Okay.
Go ahead.
Actually, my story is not my story, but it's kind of what brought up this whole topic. I learned I think it was last week, a girl at work told me that she has been interning at a different library. She's going to get her master's of library science.
She's cheating on your library?
She's totally cheating on us.
Wow.
And this library is like fostering kittens. So totally lost her. Ugh. I mean, there's kittens.
Library cats?
Yeah.
She'll never come back.
No,
that's where LOL cats come from, isn't it?
I think
very,
so.
Very, yes.
Just the rental ones.
You can check them out.
You can check them out.
Bring them back in 2 weeks.
Bring them back. Yeah. They have kind of like a identity crisis every week.
You bring them back when they're not cute anymore.
Hey, that's perfect. Kitten rentals. Go ahead, Brita. Sorry.
You know, you could go a totally different place with that, but I won't.
Uh-oh. Did we lose Brita?
She hung up on us.
We lost Brita. Oh, no.
Mike must have walked into the room.
Yeah, he must have.
All right, Jay, you go.
I go. I'm having a hard time.
All right, fuck you then. Alan, go.
Hang on. Let me see if I can get Brita back.
Jay, tell a story.
Maybe.
Tell a story. Well, I think there one of my.
Oh, honest God.
It's contagious, Brita.
Did Mike walk into the room?
Actually, I think he just came upstairs.
Oh no!
He's gonna come in here and deny it.
The RF suppression field followed him.
Yeah. Anyway, so a girl at work told me that she had been interning at this other library. He did just come upstairs. Go away! No! Don't even come in here. He totally, oh God. And he denies it. That's the thing. He denies it.
Comes in with me.
So she's been interning at this other library, and she has been interning at the reference desk. And their reference desk it's kind of like this rectangular desk, and it's out in the middle of the whole library. It's out in the open, which means that patrons can come up behind you.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Not good.
Patrons can come up behind you and ask you questions. You know, apparently, you know, librarians like things to feel really open and, you know, welcoming and accommodating, which, you know, three words that are not in my vocabulary. But
who's eating?
So it's probably Jay.
Probably.
Did you bring enough for everyone else?
I did, actually.
Okay. Sorry, Brita. Go ahead.
Okay. So she's at the reference desk, and she has a patron come up behind her. And he asked her a question, and she didn't hear him right the first time, and so she asked him to repeat himself. And he was kind of offended and then started to make fun of her because she didn't hear him correctly the first time, and implying that she had had to kind of like clean out her ears so she could hear him correctly. This library patron, a complete stranger, stuck his finger in her ear and proceeded to wiggle it around.
Ugh, no.
Ugh.
And she told me this, like, you know, a couple days later at our library, she told me this, and she said, I was completely frozen. She said, I didn't know what to do. And she said, but later on, I thought of you, Rita.
Hey, at least she's thinking.
Did she bring you the finger as a trophy?
I know, that was the thing. And I said, you thought of me, huh? And she said,
is
yeah.
Is it bronzed?
I said, why did you think of me? She said, I thought that you would probably have freaked out. And I said, you are thinking correctly. Because I would have snapped at that point.
I'm going to call bullshit on that one. I think Brita would calmly retrieve a knife from somewhere that you didn't think a knife would be hidden, lop off the finger, and then say that it's overdue.
You've still got 9 left. I suggest leaving while you do.
Yeah.
So
it's 10 cents per hair on the knuckle.
Pulled and back so, a bloody stump.
This whole time I've been thinking, you know, part of this whole being prepared thing is in your head, you know. You can take all the jujitsu classes and martial arts and gun classes and blah, blah, blah. But if you don't think about specific situations that might happen to you and what exactly is your line, then you're kind of lost. You're kind of out there. you know what I mean? Like, I work with the public, so I have certain lines regarding my personal space. And my lines are drawn so that if a patron or somebody in the public does such and such, I react in this way. And there are no, I don't deviate from those. It can be anybody. It can be a little old lady at the library. She gets too close to me, I will get up and move away from her. I don't care who it is. It's just like I have like these lines in the sand, you know, touching me in a certain way gets a certain reaction. Grabbing my arm gets a different reaction. And I don't think people, especially people who work in the public, like librarians and teachers and whoever, I don't think people actually think about that. They go to work every day and they're la-di-da-di-da, you know, Joe Blow will come into the library and it'll be fine. But you don't know him. And you don't know his motivations.
Yep.
So you have to think about these sort of situations beforehand. And I think that's the very first step in being prepared. It's kind of like the if this, then I do this.
You know, one of the things that pilots do, and one of the reasons we still have pilots in airplanes, is that from the minute the engine starts, they're thinking, what if, you know,
right.
You know, they're taking off, they're down the runway. What if I lose an engine? They're, you know, they start taking off. What if, you know, what if they're constantly thinking, what if that way, when it does happen and a bird flies into the engine and they have to land the plane in the Hudson River, they can do it.
And they're cool as a goddamn cucumber while they do it.
Right.
If anyone's listened to the Sullenberger flight, radio recordings.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it sounds like he's it sounds like he was just stopping by the store for a quart of milk,
and that's because that's what they do when they're in the, from the day they first start to the day they're in a simulator. That's what they're thinking. They're thinking, okay, what if what right. happens if this? What happens? Yep. You know, every minute they're thinking of where can I land? You know, where's the if something happens, what if and. You know, a lot of times, you know, now granted, that's a specific situation, but, you know, that gets back to the whole, you know, the threat levels, you know, white, you know, blah, 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 you know.
Conditions.
And yeah. So, you know, when you're walking down the street and, you know, you can walk down the street and just kind of be, you know, blah, 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 you know, like most people are. Or you can say, you know, well, okay, this goes back to something somebody in Facebook said, that they're this person is happens to be a newspaper reporter, and said that somebody got mugged. And I said, well, yeah, you know, it's a newspaper building. They know everybody in there is a liberal and easy pickings. And she was like, well, it was down the street. And I was like, yeah, but you know, muggers, they pick a target. They don't just jump out at random people. They pick their victim
right
from a long way off. You know, they see you coming, they see you sashaying out the door and walking down the street and not paying attention. And they're going, yeah.
Yep. Nosing a smartphone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, if they follow you for a little while and you don't start peeking at them,
yeah,
right,
they know they got you,
right.
So it's a further way because just look at the violent crime rates in states that issue carry permits to anyone that's willing to get one, and states that don't, is suddenly you start seeing a whole lot less carjackings, but a whole lot more stolen cars.
Well, so yeah, the
criminals go away. They just go.
They change the way they do things. Like you states that have a lot of high gun ownership in the house. They don't do occupied burglaries. In fact, occupied residence burglaries in the U.S. are extremely low. Virtually non-existent. I mean, you hear about it, but it's really not often at all. Versus other countries where it's common as shit. You know, England, very common. A lot of South America, very common. That people, they don't care if you're home or not. What are you going to do? You know?
All right, Alan, I want to hear your story.
Oh, God, I don't have any.
Alan's a Marine. He's always prepared.
There's I actually have a funny story. I was, years ago, was... following some people in a car from one place to another. We were going somewhere together, and they pulled over to the side of the road. They had some kind of engine problem, and I pulled in behind them. And so the guy got out and starts doing the guy under the hood thing, you know.
There's your problem.
I'm gonna fix this. And all of a sudden I hear, oh shit. And he jumps back, and all of a sudden there's flames coming up. And I was thinking, oh fuck, he set his car on fire. So I look, and I just happen to have a half empty 2-liter bottle of Diet Coke in the car with me. So I jumped up and I'm walking up, I'm going up to the other car, and I'm shaking the shit out of this thing. And, he had nicked the carburetor hose and was, leaking stuff. So I just sprayed it, shake, spray, and put it out. So that was my.
Good job, Alan. You were a Boy Scout.
My improvised fire extinguisher.
He's a hero.
And then did you stand back and strut your stuff and say, that's how you do it in the car?
That's how they do it in the old car.
But, that was, I don't know, that was...
Then he peed 100 octane in the gas tank and got the car started again.
No, didn't do that.
You know, that's really funny, is the improvised kind of things that you come up with in situations. And, you know, as a woman, I carry a knife. I cannot tell you how many times other women have asked me, hey, can I borrow your knife? Or how do I open this thing? Or can you cut this? And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and I want to tell them, you can carry your own knife.
I'm always shocked at people that don't carry knives.
It's really just a simple preparation thing. And it's
Why
just
do
a
you
knife.
Carry that? It's a weapon.
All humans.
Oh, can I borrow it to open a box?
Yeah. All humans should carry a knife.
You
want to
borrow my weapon?
Yeah. It's like one of those basic tools of civilization. All humans should carry a knife. You know?
Oh, Miguel is saying we ignore the chat room comments.
No, we don't.
You know what that means? It means you should call in.
Right. We actually do have a couple of callers, but I've been waiting for us to get our crap out of the way first.
Okay.
So we don't talk over the callers.
Jay has a... Jay?
Yes.
Do you want to go?
I get a good one about being prepared, and it's one of the reasons I'm so inattentive when it comes to pulling a trailer. Many, many years ago, we had every summer a big camping trip. Me and a bunch of friends, we'd grab, several truckloads of beer and about 8 cords of wood, and we'd head off into New Hampshire and camp for a week and just drink beer, eat bacon. You know, life was good. And we upgraded 1 year. A buddy of ours, his folks had an old pop-up camper. They said, yeah, go ahead, take it. And we're like, great, wonderful. It's a nice base of operations. You know, it's a small pop-up. We can maneuver it where we need to be. You know, not a problem. There's no electricity or anything, but it's a pop-up. You don't need it. So we're driving and driving and driving, and I'm behind my buddy who's towing it with his Blazer. And all of a sudden, it starts shuddering. The hell?
Uh-oh.
We had CBs. This is, you know, back in the dark ages before cell phones. And I...
Breaker, good buddy.
Exactly. And I'm like, Tom, you may want to pull... Oh, bang! And the wheel came off. So we, oops, you know, limped to the side of the road, and come to find out that the brother of the guy whose parents we borrowed the camper from took 2 out of 4 lug nuts on both sides of the camper for his boat trailer. He left two lug nuts on the camper.
Hey, the wheel was still on.
Yeah, exactly. So when I got a pop-up of my own, and then, you know, now I've got a travel trailer, every single time I move it, I check and make sure every single lug nut on all 4 wheels are nice and tight and the tires have air pressure. And it's just because I vividly remember seeing the little camper shaking, and then boom, look, sparks.
Oh, dear.
Now, the funny part is, sometimes you're better off being lucky than prepared, because the wheel came off, I am not making this up, 50 feet from a Napa National Auto Parts store. Walked in, they had a wheel, they had lug nuts, went out, put it back on, the whole thing took us maybe a half an hour out of our way.
Better be lucky than good. Yeah,
that was lucky.
Exactly. It was just, you know, the most serendipitous of places to break down of all. Because this is Route 16 in New Hampshire, which is, there's either long stretches of nothing or you're like in kitschy little towns. And not many of which are known for having big auto parts stores. But we were just getting into that section, and there it was. So, you know, it's a case of being unprepared, not knowing what to look for, not just, you know, I'd never towed a trailer before. I had no idea. I mean, I was following my buddy because it didn't have any lights. So I figured I'd follow him and I could be his brake lights for him.
That's very nice of you.
And, well, you know, it's, you know, but,
best intentions. I understand.
Yeah, you know, and all of a sudden I just see shake, boom, and there goes the wheel off into the woods.
Hey. Oh,
bye, Bill.
Let's take some callers.
All right.
We've got, here. Yeah.
Go ahead.
We have MDev on the line.
Wow, so soon?
Yes. And he's been there for a while, too. I've kind of been ignoring him while we talk amongst ourselves.
I'm shocked.
MDev, hello.
Oh yeah, I'm here. I was able to hear you great, and then as soon as you picked me up, you sounded like you were talking under about 10 feet of sand.
Oh. So what's the MDev report for this week?
This week's been a rough week. I just got off work 2 hours late and have less than 10 hours before I got to be back at work. So my plan is drive home, climb in bed, and go to sleep immediately.
That sucks.
And yet you're listening to us.
I know. Wow. He's dedicated. We appreciate it very much.
I'm in the car. I got to be in the car one way or the other. Oh. I might as well get my squirrel report.
Captive audience.
Exactly.
The squirrel report. So, for sleepy time.
Squirrel report. It beat talk radio.
Only because we don't have commercials.
That's true.
So, if I listen to talk radio, I got to, like, think, you know, squirrel court doesn't quite require that. So,
squirrel report, easier than thinking.
I like that. I'm going to put that on the blog.
That's going on a t-shirt.
I'm
going
to put that on the blog.
I want that t-shirt.
Got to get a good picture. Brita, you got to send us a picture of your brass squirrel.
Oh, okay. I will. I have it on my mantle.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's where one puts a brass squirrel. I'm just saying.
Yes.
So,
are you going to have like a whole brass menagerie?
MDev, what's your? Do you have a story about being prepared or unprepared? Or
okay, so it's kind of a twofold story, and I've already shared my my story about last winter and the ice storm, and basically not having enough stuff and having to get lucky and find a Fred Meyer's that was open while Seattle was freezing up. And I mean that was pretty standard stuff. But I don't know if anybody else has this bad habit, but every time I catch myself slightly unprepared, I just over prepare for that same event to happen again. So this year I'm hoping for an ice storm, because otherwise, I don't get to play with the new generator stuff. But one thing that I'll add is, I think every parent owes it to their 16 or 17 year old kid to buy them a piece of crap rust bucket car that will break down every 40 miles. Because once you own one of those, you will always have jumper cables, you will always have a good set of wrenches, and you will always have some basic hand tools, and you'll know what sounds mean that you can keep driving.
Yes.
And what sounds mean you need to get out. And I can honestly say that without my first 91 Cherokee, I would not have had those experiences. And now that I have, maybe not two nickels, but a nickel and a half to rub together, my truck still has jumper cables, a good hydraulic jack that's not the piece of crap that Chevy gave me, wrenches and things like that. And not only when my car breaks down, but when I'm on a road trip with somebody else and their fancy schmancy car breaks down and they're like, I guess I got to call AAA. 9 times out of 10, we can have it fixed before AAA gets there.
Handy.
And so my whole thing is just, prepare yourself by being unprepared, and then you'll figure it out.
Excellent.
That's good. Yeah, actually.
And real quick, Jay, I was laughing my ass off at your trailer story, because almost identical story happened to my father-in-law's Arctic Fox trailer, which is 27 foot. And the only thing that saved him is that it was double axle, so when he lost one wheel, he didn't notice it immediately.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, this was immediate, because it was just shake, 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 looking at it going, that's not right. Yeah, there's that voice that pops up in your brain that says, that is wrong. And then all of a sudden it just went ka-chunk. It dropped down on the right side, and we just watched the wheel go fling off into the woods, never to be seen again. There are a bunch of squirrels using it as a tire swing now.
So I hope that you recovered the wheel for redneck traps, though.
No, we weren't even interested. We went in, bought a new wheel, put it on, and they even had extra lug nuts. So we bought a full set, so we returned it in better shape. It had one new tire and 8 lug nuts instead of 4. Yeah, that was my favorite. I specifically asked not to be told what he did to his brother, but I heard sirens. That's all I'm saying.
Good one.
All right. Well, I'm sure you got callers, and I have a crock pot full of something or other at home, and then I got to go to bed. So
all right. Nice.
Well, thanks for calling.
All right. Have a good one.
Good night, MDev.
Bye, MDev.
Good night.
And that calling number, area code 214-530-0036. Use it.
Call in. Call us.
Use it.
Do we have more callers?
Don't make us call you.
Not. We had a couple.
Any other instance where I've been prepared or unprepared? Everybody kind of makes fun of me because I have like a little backpack full of stuff. I have like I have a bunch of knives and a bunch of like little card multi-tool things, and I have a lighter and I have a flashlight. And oh my God, my flashlight! I was in a parking lot in the middle of winter, and there was a woman with her son. It was pitch black. It was like, you know, late dark evening in the middle of winter. So it was like maybe 8:30 or something. And there was a woman out standing outside of her car, and she was panicking. And she had locked herself out of her car, but she couldn't figure out if she had locked herself out or she had just lost her keys. But she couldn't see into her car to see if she had left her keys in there. And so I'm walking into the store and she said, "Oh, can you help me? Do you have a flashlight?" And I was like, "Yes, I do. Matter of fact,
you were thinking, yes, I do. You don't?"
Yeah. I'm like,
doesn't everybody,
well, you know, yeah, why don't you have a little flashlight in your car, in your purse? But, yeah, so it turns out she did lock her keys in the car, but, yes, I had a flashlight. I've got all sorts of stuff in my bag.
Yeah. See,
stuff Rita, I will another, probably never need.
Rita and her bag of tricks.
I do.
Bag of tricks.
Hey, oh, also that lighter is an important thing too. Cause you know what, if you're out in the middle of the wilderness and you know, you have a bad case of gas coming on, just think, you know, if you don't have that lighter, you won't be able to light those farts on fire.
When I was in Boy Scouts, we used to call that a flint and steel kit.
Oh.
The cigarette lighter, flint and steel kit.
Yeah.
Jay, I'm sure Jay's heard that one.
Oh, never, 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 ever.
Hey, we got another caller.
Yay!
It's J.B. Miller.
Greetings, all.
Greetings,
human.
Hello.
Yes, finally, it worked. Hey, Brita's story made me think of a better one than I was going to tell you. There was this time I was walking out of my favorite used bookstore, going out to the parking lot, and parked next to my car was a woman who was crying hysterically. She was beside herself, and she comes up to me asking me if I had a cell phone. And I did, and I was asking her what the problem was, and she had locked her keys in the car with her baby in the child seat.
Oh, what?
Not good. She was going to call 911.
And the top was down, and it was starting to rain.
And the convertible top was down. No, just kidding. Anyway, so I had a cell phone, but better than that, I just pulled out a Slim Jim that I keep in my car.
Oh, it just happened to, huh?
And I just popped the lock open. It was open 10 seconds later, and she's like, nice. So thankful. And, you know, so I'm, you know, saying goodbye and stuff like that. And then she looks over at me going, where do you get that thing? And that's a really interesting story, too, how I ended up with a Slim Jim. But I've carried it around ever since.
I don't know. I would have stood there and called the cops and made her completely, totally embarrassed. You locked your baby in the car, stupid.
Yeah, well, there was a baby in the car, kind of greenhouse.
I am not really charitable when it comes to that.
Yeah,
I actually, right? I found my Slim Jim. It was just like on the side of the road, and I just went, "Hey, look, a Slim Jim!" I lock myself out of my truck all the time, and that's another thing to be prepared because Murphy watches. And when I put that Slim Jim in the back of my truck, I never locked my keys in my car ever again. I never had to use that goddamn thing.
You found a Slim Jim on the side of the road?
Or somewhere. I know I found it. I just went, fuck, that's a Slim Jim.
I have a whole closet full of Slim Jims. You wouldn't be surprised if the shit you find on the side of the road because somebody threw it out because the cops were coming or something.
Yeah, it's interesting. The reason I had the Slim Jim, my father-in-law was a public defender in Washington, D.C., and he had a defendant that he was taking care of that was a cab driver, and he was being accused of stealing cars because he had a Slim Jim. And so he just asked me, hey, Marty, go out and see if you can find a Slim Jim somewhere. And the very first parts store I went to had them. So I bought it, brought it back to my father-in-law, the lawyer, with the receipt, and he ended up getting the guy off. And after that, he said, hey, just keep it. And I have used it, I don't know how many times, rescuing people since.
I wouldn't know how to use it if I had one. I'd have to learn how.
Yeah, in fact, it's kind of different depending on the kind of car it is, and I've learned on the various kinds of cars where you actually have to use it.
So you've been practicing a lot.
Right. And another funny story is, I was camping once with T-Bolt, and he locked his keys in his vehicle.
First problem identified.
And the funny thing is, I said, no problem, I got a Slim Jim. We tried for like a freaking hour to get that thing open, and we could not do it. So I take out my cell phone and I start looking it up. You know, how do you Slim Jim a, you know, the kind of car he has? And it turns out you can't use one of that. And in fact, it cautions you, do not use a Slim Jim. You have a chance of ruining the inside of the electric windows by tearing up the wire.
Yeah, some of them are like that. When I bought my new truck, it's got the little electronic keypad on the outside. And I've always been kind of like, yeah, what do you need that for? And then when you lock your keys in the car, very handy.
Yeah, well, I'm also with Brita in that I carry around a backpack that's full of all kinds of stuff, too. So, you know, I could basically field trip a helicopter if I had to.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
He's typing.
I always carry spare key.
Somebody's typing.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Not me.
Sorry.
Yeah, we're having some good
fun. Wow, I'm going to hang up because the audio is getting really funky here.
Yeah, it is. Thanks for calling, JP. All right.
Sorry about that.
Echo.
Yeah, it's Skype. I thought it was just me.
Skype's echoing.
Also, Skype is silencing. I would like this noted for the record. For once, it is not me.
No, it's
quick,
it's
Jay, reboot your phone.
maybe I can use my phone to bring it back into sync.
Am I still here?
Yes, you are.
Do I sound better?
Better than what?
I don't know. I had Skype open. I had Skype open on my laptop and Skype open on my iPhone.
Oh.
Maybe they were fighting.
Nah.
We got two breeders tonight.
I don't know.
We got another caller.
Excellent.
Yay.
If we can get away, keep the echo away. And this is area code 608.
Area code 608. Hey, that might be me.
Yes,
that
it might be.
It might be. How many other people from this neck of the woods are calling into the score report? I'm first in line. I just got a 17-year-old and have in the trunk a jump pack with compressor on it. And my 17-year-old actually plugged, because I got a tire plug kit too, because that's way easier than waiting 2 hours to see if AAA beat the rapist to the scene of the crime. And there was one of the farm kids in the parking lot of the high school had a flat tire, and my 17-year-old 104-pounder went out and fixed his tire and aired it up. And needless to say, he hasn't heard the end of it yet. But and yet the other thing I found is leave a couple MREs in the trunk because they taste so nasty you won't eat them unless
you're starving.
If you happen to be stuck for 3 or 4 days, it's the trouble of a bowel movement, you know?
By the way, is this Gus?
But yeah, much like Brita, there's a backpack in the trunk, and, you know, you don't send the child out to go without knowing how to use it. It's, you know, things happen. I was one of those traveled a lot, you know, by myself, changed probably 30 to 40 tires on the side of the road if people had no clue. You know, no air in the spare, you know, didn't know how to, you know, the pump on the jack and the little switch wouldn't be turned so the car wouldn't rise up. And, it's a simple thing. It can be the difference of being back on the road in 15 minutes and, you know, hopefully waiting for AAA. But 2 hours on the side of the road, it's not a good situation no matter where you're at.
Nope.
Right.
Hey, is this Gus?
This is Gus.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought I recognized your voice.
Yeah, well, and I'm thinking I need Alan's porch instead of mine because Wisconsin is getting too freaking cold to be sitting on the porch drinking. But, you know, that's tough. But that's great. So, no, I just called to echo, but not echo, what everybody's saying. You know, just a little preparedness. And that goes for everything. That goes for when you're driving or, you know, we've got a few burglaries in the neighborhood and we had one. What was considered a fairly nice neighborhood, a young lady up in her bedroom, a guy with a mask over his face and a can of pepper spray shows up at the bedroom door. And she shot seven times and missed in seven, but there was a little bit of cloth in one of the bullets in the wall. So they think maybe she at least altered the guy's wardrobe, changed his jacket, and probably didn't do any wonders for his underwear either, but it's all about being prepared, you know. An APB for a guy with a bandana over his face, a hole in his jacket, and a lump of shit in his pants, you know, so should be too hard to find him. But I don't have anything of value to contribute other than that, if that had any value at all. But
it was good.
Being prepared, that's excellent.
Be on the lookout for a man smuggling a log of crap.
He's got a trout pond in his trousers.
It's the nice neighborhood. It's starting to get, you know, heroin made a comeback, I guess. It's become fashionable again, and people who do that need money, and they tend to go find it in places where, you know, you maybe stick them. So,
yep.
It's part of, you know, you talk about, you know, thinking it through before it happens, and you know, this was somebody who was reluctant to, you know, her roommate's pistol. She was against it, but I tell you, when you hear noise downstairs and it's not supposed to be there, your opinion on firearms can change in a heck of a hurry.
Very quickly. You're right. Well, thanks for calling, Gus. That was good.
Yeah, well, I just participate when I can. Usually it was either that or I'm doing some online coursework, which is the next best thing to, you know, taking a bullet and shit in your pants, but so I kind of veered away from that and veered into the score report, which is slightly more entertaining than whatever the government thinks I should know. So,
well, that's good to know.
There's another quote for the webpage: slightly more entertaining than what the government wants me to know. Gee,
that's crazy because you know, a week and a half ago, the government had me learning how to drive a school bus because it's got some regulation that every Army unit has to have so many licensed buses. We don't have a school bus, but so here you have, you have 20 attorneys learning to drive school buses. That's your tax dollars at work.
Hey, you never know, man.
Well, in the event, you that's will be right. prepared.
Next time, you know, next time Louisiana is inundated by a hurricane, they'll have somebody that can go drive the school buses out.
There you go.
That's right. The outcome of the next war may depend on whose lawyers are the better school bus driver.
That's right.
So,
Hey, think about Mad Max. Think about Mad Max.
That's right. Somebody had to drive the bus.
And I can weld too, so I can do the old Clint Eastwood running the gauntlet thing. So I got peg one for
you. Awesome.
Wow. But, there's an obscure reference.
I still haven't watched one. It was on Netflix to watch a while ago, but I think I might have missed my chance.
Yeah. Did the person who saw that movie get that reference? But, the two of us. But
that was the one with him and Sandra Locke where he wasn't Dirty Harry.
Yes.
that's right. Sandra Locke, yeah.
Met her on Josie Wales, Jay.
Yeah, and she wasn't
any which way but loose either.
Yeah, and it was kind of a toss up in the every which way. You know, her or the orangutan. I mean,
there's Ruth Gordon too.
which one would be safer to go to bed with? You just got to make that call. You know?
Oh shit!
Let me just say, I know Clint Eastwood fucked one of them, and it ain't the orangutan.
Yeah. So what you're trying to say is the orangutan lost the coin toss.
All right, guys.
That bad.
Oh dear.
It's Anyway, well, if I haven't driven the program down so far that it's going to come to a crashing halt, I think I'll step on out here. But good talking to you guys. Good hearing from you. I will tune in out here in La La Land.
All right. Bye. All right. Bye,
don't worry, Gus. We can salvage it.
Yeah, maybe.
Gus Avocado, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
That's that call-in number, 214-530-0036.
It is. We have an hour left.
Yeah, we do. And we haven't gotten to the rest of our topics. I have a update on the bacon shortage.
Yes.
Who was it? Was it Jay that found that?
I think it was. Actually emailed me. Oh. He was so concerned. He emailed me the story.
Let's back up. Let's take a step back because the internet melted it down yesterday or something because somebody published an article talking about how there was going to be a bacon shortage. And, well, you know the internet runs on porn and bacon, so, and you know, LOL
and cats.
Yeah, so.
The internet is never wrong.
There was a panic, and then, fortunately, it turns out to not be the case.
Yay! No bacon shortage. Jay? I don't have to go around.
You want to tell it or?
People for bacon.
Brita had her colander all picked out and everything.
I did.
Well, it turns out that the article that talked about the bacon shortage was in merry old England. And they call something bacon there that we don't call bacon. So
it's more like Canadian bacon.
Right. It's the back bacon. It's not the pork belly that we have as bacon in the U.S.
It's not the same thing.
And it's
all pig though, right?
So, well, apparently there's less back bacon on a pig than there is pork bellies on a pig. So.
Oh no.
And the back bacon's less delicious, so fuck.
You know, you can make bacon out of any mammal.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
Rita, you sound like you've tried.
Yeah, but
well, they have lamb bacon, and they also
have bacon made from long pig.
Yes.
I'm not above trying it.
I will.
If pushed to the limit, and
if there were no other bacon, I'd eat it.
Yeah, I'd try it.
Well, you know, Brita comes, you know, she's like first generation Irish American. And like, and the Irish, like all Islanders, have, you know, a history of cannibalism.
Hey, we do not. Oh, my God. We don't. Well.
Yes, you do.
No, we don't.
Well, headhunting.
Headhunting is totally different than cannibalism.
I think that cannibalism and headhunting are very closely related to each other.
And the head can be so delightfully smoked.
Get the head cheese. And the brains. Yum, yum, yum. So, anyway.
But by the way, I have heard that the beef bacon is indeed a dreadful substance.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I've heard lamb bacon is excellent, though.
I've never had either one of those, but I have had the kind made from turkeys, and that sucks.
I think the white meat mammals are the ones that you want to make the bacon out of. I don't know. I think, like a turkey. That. Well, turkey's not a
mammal.
Turkey's
Alan,
not a mammal.
Are you advocating chicken bacon?
No. I'm talking mammals. Mammals,
said,
not birds.
Mammals.
It has to be mammals. So your white meat mammals, like your pig and your goat,
human.
And lamb, probably.
Goat isn't white meat. Neither is lamb.
Close enough.
Now you're making up rules.
Whatever.
Yeah.
214-530-0036.
Anyway, the bacon shortage is not to... Do not panic.
Yeah. Not saying it won't get expensive, because it already is, but...
Yeah. It's
you know why bacon's so expensive?
Corn.
Yeah.
It's because it's worth it.
Bingo!
Because they can charge more because people will pay it.
I get my bacon from the Amish, and like I get like the bacon, like the secret, you know, we have to make the arrangements for the bacon delivery and like,
that's
because
it's made out of Amish people.
Pass money like under the
Soylent
table
bacon.
For the special Amish bacon. It's actually,
you have to convert your money into gold.
It's very good.
Amish bacon.
Except the bacon has a chin beard.
Yes.
And while we're waiting on people to call, hint, hint, let's get an update on that RoboLeg.
Okay. I wore the RoboLeg to work today for 4 hours.
Woohoo!
And I decided to wear a skirt to kind of get the whole issue over with. Because I thought, okay, people are going to stare at me. People are going to ask questions. And it's, like, totally obvious. And, you know, oh, my God, Roboleg. And what a weirdo freak, you know, kind of thing. So I was driving to work this morning, and I was kind of having, like, a little kind of panicky attack. You know, I'm thinking,
Wait.
What?
Now, you have to tell us how long the skirt was, because, you know, it matters.
Okay. It was a black skirt, and it was, I don't know, 2 inches above my knee.
Oh, okay.
I know, scandalous.
And Brita, just to also confirm, this is also in the name of science. You did bring your boobs with you to work, right?
My what?
Your boobs.
Yes, I brought the boobs.
Your sweater yams.
Yes.
Sweater puppies.
You guys, I brought my yams to work.
Excellent. Okay, continue.
Oh, God. Okay, so so I go to work, and I'm, like, panicking kind of thing, and I'm sitting in the car before I go into work. I'm like, okay, I can do this. You know, so I go into work, and I go into the library, and I'm wearing my skirt, and I walk to my desk, and I notice something. I have totally a tell. I rub my nose when I'm nervous. I do this, like, I rub my nose. I don't even know. So I'm walking to my desk, and I'm rubbing my nose, and I'm thinking, why the fuck am I rubbing my nose? And I'm like, oh, it's my tell. I'm nervous. I get to my desk. And my coworker is there. She's turning on the computers. I go and I help her, and I'm turning on the computers, helping her. She doesn't say anything. And I'm thinking, what the hell? And finally, I had to tell her, oh, I'm wearing my new leg today. She's like, oh, like she didn't notice. I'm thinking, what? She's and like, then,
oops.
Okay. So, no, she was not. And,
did you stick your finger in her ear?
I did not stick my finger in her ear. And so all day long I had the same experience with people where I felt like, oh my God, they're going to say something, or they're going to stare at me, or it's going to be a thing. Nobody noticed.
Will you fucking start staring at my leg?
It was as anticlimactic as open carrying a pistol.
See?
Seriously. It was not an issue.
They really wanted to say something, but you scared them too much.
No. People just
because you are
look.
A tiny menace, Brita.
Well, I am the tiny menace, yes. But I don't think people look.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, people don't look at your waist to see if you're carrying a pistol. People don't really look at your legs unless they're like a freak like that and check out your legs.
Guilty.
But okay, except for weird.
There's something wrong with being a leg man? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes, I am saying that. But I don't think people notice. And I was in the break room, and I was sitting there eating my banana and having a cup of tea.
Did you make eye contact when you were eating your banana?
Shut up, Alan. And so I'm sitting there, and my coworker walks in. It was her break time too, and she looked right at me. And I didn't have my legs under the table or anything, and she didn't even say anything. And it was just so strange. I was like, I don't think it registers with people. So it was completely anticlimactic.
All that worry about nothing.
Yeah. Yep.
So then Brita immediately went to her prosthetist and said, I'm taking this back. I need something more obnoxious.
something obnoxious. Flashier that people will see.
I need something with like an eagle talon.
Yeah. I need it bedazzled. Damn
flashing
it.
Strobe lights.
And yes.
And it needs a hydraulic system, and it goes, ooh, clunk.
Brita now sounds like Ed 209 walking around the library.
Yeah.
You have 15 seconds to comply.
So I worked for 4 hours at the library, and then after 4 hours, I was pretty much done. Advil is a great drug. I recommend it to everybody. But, you know, I'm coming along, so we'll see.
I take several grams of it a day, thank you.
I took six today, and I was kind of like nervous that six. I've taken too many, but I've been
several,
told.
Wait. Several grams?
I was wondering if anybody would
guess. Because the maximum human dosage is supposed to be like 2,400 milligrams.
Yes. Well, that would be 2 grams.
Yeah, several is more than that.
Yeah, I don't need my liver.
If it's any consolation, Jay crushes them, snorts them. That's a different mode of
operation. Is that why you can't smell anything?
That's right.
No, I don't snort them anymore. I do the Advil enema because it gets into the
body. Oh, hey, there's a good one.
No.
Awesome.
Oh.
Jay has one hell of an Advil.
Advil suppositories.
That's right.
So anyway, I have this leg now, and I plan on wearing more skirts, so I'm kind of in the market for a thigh holster or a something. Why don't we make thigh holster for knives?
I completely support this idea.
No, seriously, why do they have thigh holster type things with for knives or no?
Absolutely. Yes, Dr. Roadkill, he's got 7.
Oh. I'm just gonna go out on a limb here, but I don't think my thighs and Roadkill's thighs are the same size.
Yeah, but he can hook you up. He knows
that. Right. You'll only get 3.
Okay. Yeah, so that was my experience today.
Oh, and by the way, the Kilted to Kick Cancer Prize package number 1 is Jay's Advil Coke Booger.
It's
autographed, and it's autographed by Larry Correa. It's a genuine Advil Coke Booger.
Yuck.
I love to say Coke Booger.
Yeah, they actually make thigh sheaths and all kinds of stuff. For knives.
I'm going to need something like that. I don't know.
They're very popular with the diver set.
Yeah. Oh, I would.
Oh yeah, I got one of those.
Yeah.
Huh.
I put it on my ankle though, but my ankle's like Rita's thigh.
It's not.
This is the Squirrel Report episode. You need to remember this episode number 28, where we talked about Rita's thighs.
Anyway, our call-in number, 214-530-0036. I'd love for you to call in to end this conversation.
Hey, there's 25 people in the chat room. Somebody
I know. It's great. We have a lot of people in the chat, but no one's calling.
Lazy bums.
And you know, one of those people that's not calling is fucking Miguel.
I know. Pussy. I'm hurt.
Your nemesis. He's too afraid of you to call in. That's what it is.
That's right. He's terrified to call in.
He is. He's like a little girl.
I've heard that.
No, wait. No, that's. I can't say he's like a little girl because I bet Susan would call in a heartbeat.
Susan would totally call in and not think twice about it. Of course.
And I bet Susan's got a good Coke Booger story.
You want to mess with her mom? Be my guest. I'll make the arrangements for your next of kin.
She's upstairs sleeping.
Oh, hey, speaking of Massachusetts, Senator.
Oh, God.
I wanted to get Jay's reaction to the Pocahontas faux not registered for practice of law in Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah, she's not registered to practice law in Massachusetts. Yeah, it's par for the course. It's absolutely par for the course. And her new ads are now,
Scott Brown's insinuating that Elizabeth Warren used her fake American heritage. This is all he has. And I'm like, really? You put out a commercial tying Scott Brown to Todd Akin, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah. Well, I like how the liberals came back when it was legal insurrection that started talking about the law license in Massachusetts. So they came back saying, well, you know, if she only did cases for federal court, that's okay because blah, 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 blah. And then they come back the next day with, oh, yeah, how about this one over here where she did it for state court? Yeah.
Well, I mean, really, she should thank them. Because they took the focus off the fact that, she worked for the steel companies screwing their employees.
And the asbestos
companies screwing asbestos. She's been working for these big evil corporations.
I know.
She's been padding her multi-million dollar Cambridge mansion nest with evil corporation money against the little guy while she's out there I'm going to fight for the little guy. No, fuck you, you're not. You have screwed the little guy over time and time again. And it's, again, I have an especially deep hatred for her because she's going to force me to vote for Scott Brown. Just like Obama is going to force me to vote for Mitt Romney. Honestly, I hate them even more because of that.
Would this be the first time in your life that you voted for Mitt Romney? Jay.
I'll jump out right there and say I actually have voted for Mitt Romney. It was only because it was him or John McCain.
Oh, my God.
I did vote for Romney in 94.
Hey, we got a caller.
Excellent. Good evening, caller.
Area code 813. Hello.
Hey, guys. This is Derek.
Hi, Derek.
Hi, Derek.
Oh, pretty good. I don't have one for, you know, being unprepared when the shit hit the fan. I did have one. I inadvertently laid down groundwork that kind of prevents bad stuff from happening. When I was working fast food, I was a manager. And, you know, I was working with a lot of teenagers, so explaining to them, yeah, you need to, you know, if bad stuff happens, you know, if they want money, give them money. If they want food, give them food. If they want more than money or food, kill them. Which my bosses really didn't like, but I didn't give a shit because I had young ladies working for me, and I wanted to make sure that if they were going to try something more than that, you should kill them.
Yes.
So we had one summer where the strip mall next to us, the jewelry store got hit, the grocery store got hit, the pizza joint got hit, the bank got hit.
Wow.
But we never got anything. I mean, we're going over this with my teams for one night shift, and they're like, I'm really kind of surprised we haven't got hit yet. And one of them looks over and says, You don't know this, do you? No, why? It's like, because it's all over that area. If they come in here, they're dead. We're going to kill them, or one of those girls are going to take them back and throw them in the fryer because you've told them how to do that.
Nice.
Nice.
I like it.
Grease burns are not fun.
Well, you know.
And they lead to easy identification.
Yeah, you know, it's
look for the guy who looks like a chicken McNugget.
You know, if you want to keep yourself from being robbed or burglarized, you don't have to make your house a fortress. You just have to have it marginally harder than the one next door.
Yep. Oh, where was I reading that?
And it goes the same for your business, you know. If all the other businesses are somewhat easier to rob than yours is, then they'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, best thing you can do is lock your door. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. I have fun in my neighborhood because I'm known as the dangerous house because my friends and I used to do sword fighting in the front yard and help out all the, you know, let the kids come over and play with them. But, yeah, I don't really have problems with the local teenagers or Jehovah's Witnesses or anyone.
Nobody bothers. I love it. No, don't go to that house. That dude's crazy.
Yeah, let's not toilet paper that house.
Yeah.
Just a feeling.
Yeah, actually, Mike was asking me, he's like, you know, the Jehovah's don't visit our house at all. It's like, yeah, I kind of took care of that.
What did you do?
He was scared.
I just killed one of them as a message.
I asked him, I said, you know, what are you doing here? And they tried their spiel, and I said, I think you need to get off my property now. And they kind of stopped and looked at me, and I said, get off my property. And they haven't been back since.
It's because she was pointing an M1 Garand at them at the time.
Get off my lawn.
And I think that at a certain point they kind of cross you off the list and say, okay, I don't think these people are going to go for it ever.
Can't save this one.
Yeah, no. So.
Yep. Well, thanks for calling, Derek.
Yeah, Derek. Thanks for calling in.
Sword fighting on the front lawn. I like that one.
Yeah.
I like this, especially the deep fryer part.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm fond of that.
Because, you know, the deep fryer, it doesn't move very well, but it's a nice weapon if used correctly.
If used correctly, yes.
You have to bring Muhammad to the mountain.
That's right.
He looks like Chicken McNugget.
Yeah. 214-530-0036.
And tastes like bacon. No. I just want to say right now, if you deep fried Muhammad, he'd taste like bacon.
Yes, he would.
They're totally gonna jihad.
Yummy, yummy bacon.
Fried.
Yeah, except Brita, again, you're the dangerous house. They are not gonna jihad you.
I don't care.
They jihaded the embassy where all the Marines had unloaded M16s.
Yeah,
true.
But they no, there because there weren't. It wasn't the embassy. It was the consulate where there weren't Marines. There were local police forces that went, oh, fuck this. They ain't paying me enough.
Yeah, actually, I think the Libyan forces. I read that they kind of gave up the ambassador, right?
Yes, they did.
The security forces were like, "Hey, he's in there."
Yep.
So. He's right here. Don't kill me. He's in there.
Yeah. He's over there. But it's just a speed bump.
That's right.
A bump in the road, right?
Just a bump in the road.
It's because of some obscure filmmaker nobody'd ever heard of and a 2-minute YouTube clip. Right. And apparently John F. Kennedy was killed by, you know, a piece of Sputnik falling out of the sky.
Skunk ape.
Yeah, you know, that whole thing is, I mean, now that the administration has just kind of done like, oh, okay, it wasn't the thing,
yeah,
and all this kind of stuff. And yet Obama is still standing up in front of the UN trotting out the movie thing like that actually had anything to do with any of this crap.
Speaking of the UN and deep fryers.
Diplomat McNuggets.
Oh.
That's right.
There's a vast untapped supply of scrappy nibbles. That's all I'm saying.
Can we go to war with them? I think that would be fun.
Go to war with the UN building?
Yeah.
We should.
Just do like a nice war of attrition.
Hey, Brita.
It's in New York City. What? We could just lob 28-ounce soda bottles at them.
Miguel is calling.
Woohoo!
And it's Miguel.
He's got nuts.
Hello, Miguel.
Good evening. Hello.
It's Miguel. Hello.
Who Hi, is it? Miguel.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm good.
Hey, just you guys talking about Jehovah Witnesses, I got two stories for it. both happened to me when I was living in Nashville. The first one is, they knock on typical shit. They knock at the door. I'm an asshole. I open the door, and here's this guy, you know, all nice and dressed. Sir, you know, I come to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever. And in my mind, the only thing I can figure out what to do is, like, you know, I'm going to fool this asshole. And it says, sorry, you know, I don't know how to blow English. Son of a bitch turns around and says, oh, you speak Spanish? Me too. And here he goes with his fucking speech.
Dick.
He fucked me over the son by legal son of a bitch Jehovah's Witness. The second one is also still in Nashville. I'm already dating my future Mrs. Gonzalez.
Your future ex-wife.
I'm with my roommate. She had a roommate that she was dating, a guy named Jesus. And so we're with my roommate at the Burger King in Nashville waiting to be served, and we're speaking in Spanish real quick. And the guy behind me says, sir. So yes. I said, sir. Do you know Jesus by any chance? So, oh, yeah, I know him. he was back in Murfreesboro, and they spent we had a party last night. Probably he's still drunk and tired of my fucking Rose, because the girlfriend. I mean, you know, the guy is a total nut job. This guy, I mean, I'm totally, I think he's talking about my friend Jesus. Okay? And this guy turns beet red. He turns around and takes off. I'm thinking, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? My roommate just hits me with the elbow and says, do you see his hands? No. Why? He had a Bible. He wasn't talking about Jesus. He was talking about Jesus.
Nice.
Thinking, oh, shit.
Oh, dear. Lost the translation.
Those are my two Jehovah's Witness stories.
Miguel, we were talking a lot about bacon, Miguel, today.
I was a smoking.
And do you have any plan? You have a new smoker, and I want to hear about that. But do you have any plans about making your own bacon?
You could. Hopefully so. Okay, and those that are from my generation, I still remember the T-shirt that said "making bacon," and it didn't mean smoking pig parts. Making bacon in the 70s meant having sex.
I did not know that. Thank you.
Alan knew you were going.
I remember those shirts.
You remember the T-shirts?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Making bacon. Making bacon. Rita wants to make bacon. I wonder what Mike has to say about that.
Usually written in that funky hippie font with the from San Francisco, the flower child.
Font, yeah, making bacon.
There's a hippie font?
Yeah.
Let me guess, it's on an apple.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, there was some great T-shirts back in that era. You know, the old, you know,
T-shirts were a real art form back then. I don't want to. One of my regrets in life was not owning a Disco Sucks T-shirt when they were.
They were popular. Oh, Stripes, the movie.
Yeah.
When they all get caught and George Reinhold, you know, looking all fucked up with the Disco Sucks. It's like that one and College.
Yeah.
And the sweater with College. At least it's easy if I've seen Animal House. God damn. Rita?
Yes.
You're quiet.
I know. I'm thinking about making bacon.
Me too, Rita.
So in about what? Hold on a second. 30 minutes. Rita's gonna go upstairs, grab Mike and say, "Squeal like a pig, boy."
Uh-oh.
I think he's asleep. He must be asleep. He's not interfering with my
Rita,
Wi-Fi.
Just so
right
you
now.
Know, that's some of the best nook you can have. I was trying to sleep, and then there was a lady all over me.
Oh,
yeah,
I'll keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Brita, you're going to tell us that you... how long have you been married?
A long time.
Okay, you're going to tell me that to this day you don't know there are certain male parts that work independently from the brain?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Miguel, all I wanted you to do is call in and talk about your meat.
I am not touching that one.
You're not touching it?
Miguel, you're not touching your meat?
Actually, right now, I got one hand on the phone against my ear and the other hand high in the air. Not touching that one.
Well, there's your problem.
Oh, Lordy.
Because right now, the little blonde is pretending that she's asleep, and I know she's listening, and I'm dead. Even if I do anything else.
Uh-huh. You're so dead.
So Miguel, what are your plans for your smoking machine?
Yes, let's talk about that, because
I was thinking it would be too much of an exaggeration to be smoking burgers. I swear to God, man, it is amazing the what you can do. I mean, the flavor. I mean, ribs. I tried to do ribs, you know, in the oven, whatever. It sucked, you know, and they come out so good.
Yep.
I mean, that's pornographic good. Yeah. I'm talking Linda Loveless good.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm thinking it's like I understand now why Southerners will actually grab a possum, because you know you put it in the smoker, it's gonna come out tasting good.
That's true.
Yeah. It's smoked about awesome. Anything and it tastes
you,
good.
You throw anything in the smoker, it's going to come out good.
Sign me up for some smoked possum.
I'm holding out for possum jerky.
I bet you could make possum jerky.
I bet you could. I bet it'd be greasy as shit. But
I bought bacon jerky this week. Bacon jerky. It's I got it at Walgreens, and they have like a whole kind of like food little food section, and they had bacon jerky, and I bought it, and it's really good. It's thick cut. It's yummy. Miguel is totally snickering.
Yeah, you know, I'm laughing at J.B. Miller. I just need to know all the lessons of Joe about this now.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, Miguel.
Well, look at the possum is nothing else that you know, redneck rabbit. So, you know.
That's true. All those.
You know, even nothing but, you know, it's, and not only that, it's got to be healthy because it's a free-range animal.
He's
you know, they're talking about the free-range chickens, free-range cows.
Squirrel, possum,
groundhog.
Groundhog, yeah. All
Nutria! Nutria!
You don't want to do armadillos. Those are, well, in the first place, they almost all have rabies, and second off, you know,
the animals need a bandsaw to get the shell off.
Yeah.
Well, armadillo, if you smoke an armadillo, what you get is a hard shell taco.
I think possum is one of those animals that their body temperature isn't high enough, so they don't carry rabies or something like that.
Yeah, there's something like that. Anyway,
yeah, they don't have rabies. So.
Possum is an old. The people have been eating possum in the South for forever.
And you can make the skin into a banjo.
Oh God!
Oh, I've seen God. A guy play a possum skin banjo. It was pretty cool sounding. And he actually flipped it over, and you could see on the inside of the drum it still had hair.
Yeek.
No, go in there.
I'd rather talk about Miguel's meat than a possum banjo.
By the way, Miguel, I happen to be very, very partial to brisket. Brisket in the smoker is my Achilles heel.
Yeah, brisket in the smoker is really good. You get that nice red smoke ring around the outside. Oh God!
Oh, I'm gonna try everything. I mean, my Sarah's already got me for shoulder, which is supposed to be the next thing.
If I can divert into smoking, just for a minute.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Your vertical smokers are good for, you know, things like ribs and chickens and whatnot, but for brisket. You really want the horizontal barrel smoker with the offset firebox. Just saying.
Okay. Is that kind of a cold smoke?
Yeah, it's not as much heat, but you leave it in a lot longer, like all day. And the objective on a brisket is to get the smoke ring on the meat. So you got it's a lot longer, lower heat, oh man. Making myself hungry. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. But charcoal, that's why I got this smoker that is a gas and charcoal. Because I wanted, one thing, you know, that I figured out is like the temperature control is the important thing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to mess up. So let me start with the gas. And once I get the hang of it, I may try the charcoal. Anyway, what I figured out is I got a great freaking shit hit the fan tool with me.
That's true.
You can. This vertical smoker, gas, charcoal, I can, you know, smoke whatever the hell I want, but it's got also a gas burner. I can cook with it. I can bake on it because that thing can, actually, the first day I turn it on to, you know, they ask you to turn it on and see if it can burn any oils and stuff that were less from manufacturing. And that thing was 350, 400 degrees. And I'm thinking, my wife can make biscuits here.
Sure, absolutely.
So, all of a sudden, it's like, I don't need anything else. I don't need to come up with crap. You know, give me a couple of freaking canisters of those gas things, and I'm set for hurricane season.
When the apocalypse happens, you can throw a possum on there and smoke it.
Nuke the possum.
Smoke zombie.
Zombie.
Smoke zombie. Zombie. It's zombie. Real bad.
You know, if you cook, get a zombie to the right temperature, it probably kills the zombie virus. So then you can eat it.
There's plenty of stuff to eat.
Oh, well, we're the scientists. He should know how, you know, what's the perfect temperature to kill any kind of microorganisms.
600 degrees.
Yeah. that's my general philosophy.
if you want it germ free, autoclave it.
Well, that would do it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Pressure and heat.
The only thing the weird knows about is freaking mice balls. So what the hell we're asking him about?
I have autoclaved those.
You've autoclaved mouse balls? How did they taste?
I didn't taste them. They smell horrible.
Well, you can exaggerate it. You use the autoclave to make steamed vegetables. You know, that's a little bit too much.
Talk about a pressure cooker.
Somebody told me about how to poach a salmon in a dishwasher.
I've heard that too. Yeah, I've never tried it.
Neither have I, because I'm married and I'd like to stay that way.
Well, Miguel, if you have a smoker, you should definitely try smoking salmon in your smoker, because it's excellent. We've done it quite a few times and it's delicious.
Why?
Why? Because it's yummy. Do not eat fish.
Yeah.
Oh, Miguel, I think you just live to be contrary to me.
No, yeah. I hate fish.
That is what a nemesis is, right?
I know, okay, it's so silly.
There's only two creatures from the ocean that I will eat. Squid and octopus.
What?
Hey, you got calamari.
No. Miguel will eat squid and octopus, but not salmon?
Yeah, there's something wrong there.
And I gotta say, Miguel, you live in South Florida. I mean, the stripers run there. Go look at something.
I got a lake on my back porch. Is a lake.
Smoky gator.
I got catfish. I mean, I got bass, catfish, the whole crap. I don't eat fish. I don't like fish. Period. I mean,
smoker and see if you don't like fish. Mm-hmm. I bet I can make a liar out of you, Miguel.
If it's got scales, and it got feathers, I don't eat it.
You don't eat chicken?
You don't eat turkey?
No.
You've never had emu?
No. I am pork. I am venison. It's got to be warm blooded animals that don't have feathers.
So how about dolphins?
I don't like them. I don't like him, period. I'm weird, so, you know.
Poor dolphin.
Okay. Okay, you got any other callers there? Somebody call, please.
Just you.
Yeah, you're stuck. You're stuck, Miguel. We need Nancy to call
before Brita actually calls immigration and has me extradited.
Miguel, you said you were going to try a pork shoulder next?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, the last time I made a pork shoulder, I brined it with in a brine solution with apple cider, and it was like heaven. It was so good and so juicy and tender and smoky and sweet. It was just wonderful.
I suggest brining pork.
What?
Look, I was looking just this afternoon a recipe of, and it had apple cider on it. So, it shall be done, my lady.
Yeah, but don't tell Miguel that pigs have feathers.
They what? Oh, somebody just.
Cooking with Brita.
We're.
Did we lose Miguel?
But salts are not good for you.
Did we lose me?
Stop no, talking, you're still okay? here.
No, but you have to click on the picture that was just posted in chat.
Uh-oh.
Okay, what picture? Wait.
Oh, Matt St. John.
Oh, look at that. How hey, cute. Baby. Look at that. You give it a couple more weeks and it's edible.
Ugh. And for you listening that can't see the picture, it's a little tiny octopus on a fingertip. A
little teeny tiny octopus.
Yep.
I got to say, though, I agree with Miguel. Octopus is tasty.
Octopus is yummy. Octopus and squid.
Yep.
Oh, come on, Jay, it's delicious.
Jay, you of all people should know that calamari is the Italian word for cuttlefish.
Sorry.
The Italian word for cuttlefish.
It is. It just happens to be that I'm in America.
That's answer the phone.
I'm here.
Yeah.
What?
Where did you go?
Brita disappeared for a second, then Skype called her back. So it's all good.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay.
Anyway, my recipe.
Now I can go.
Yeah, thanks for calling again.
Yes.
Brian, the pork. Have a good one, guys.
Bye.
Thanks, Miguel.
Area code 214-530-0036.
Hey, Brita, have you ever had octopus?
You can.
I have had octopus sushi.
Yeah, it's
you good, isn't it? You had octopus jerky, too.
Call in for cooking squid. With Brita.
Oh, yeah, that's right, squid jerky.
The squid jerky is excellent. I love squid sushi, and the squid jerky was really good, too. Yeah. I've never had, like, octopus cooked or anything. I don't know.
It's good smoked. I've had smoked octopus.
Oh, I'm weird about octopus. I don't know. It's like...
Well, I was wondering, you're freaked out by them, so I wondered if you could eat them. I mean, I think, you know, since you hate them so much, that actually turning them into poop might feel good.
No, I don't hate them. They're just really smart. I kind of feel like eating an octopus would be kind of like eating a toddler. You know what I mean? They're really freaking smart.
No, I gotta take the quote out of Tam that if a cow came up to me and said, I'm an intelligent thinking beam, I'd shoot him between the running lights and eat him.
Really?
Why not? They're delicious.
Well, I'm sure you're delicious.
It's not the same species.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
We're talking about my meat now.
Oh,
I walked right into that one.
Hey, you know what we haven't heard from out of Weird for a while?
What?
The hog call.
Oh, no.
I thought you meant Dr. Roxo.
No, I'm talking about the where he's like, hog.
Oh, hog!
That, yeah.
Yeah, it's meat. Hogs are made of meat.
That's right.
Area code 214-530-0036. Actually, we got about less than 20 minutes left. So
18, according to my clock.
So talk about smoking some hog, people.
Yeah, not so much.
So now, actually, what's the story? I've heard people say that like the feral pigs in Texas aren't necessarily edible.
I wouldn't say they're inedible. It's just
everything's edible if you use enough barbecue sauce.
They're
if you chew long enough.
Well,
maybe.
They're you know, people do eat them. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's just that they are a pest species, and a lot of times people just shoot them and leave them.
Yeah, but they're made of bacon.
Yeah, but they're not like
they're not
pigs like we're used
to. Yeah, usually when people kill a hog, they'll take the back strap off and leave the rest or something.
It's not a back strap on a hog. It's called a tenderloin.
Whatever it is, but they'll you know it's not like the porker that's raised for you know bacon and pork chops and stuff like that. It's a wild feral hog. I mean they're mean and nasty and tough. And
what about the ribs?
And if you hit them with a 50, they turn inside out.
I've not had the ribs. I've had pieces of the loin and stuff off of, and it was pretty good. I've not had.
What about prairie dog? Can you eat prairie dog?
No. Are they a bubonic plague, Jay?
Yeah. You don't want to, not only that, but once you're through shooting them, there's not a whole lot left.
Yeah. Also, that's a lot of work, Jay. If you want to try to get some food out of it, yeah. I was doing some RNA extraction off of a mouse ham, and I gotta say, there really ain't a whole lot of ham on a mouse. But it did look like a little ham.
It looked like a
very little ham. It's like a dollhouse ham. Remind me of my Beatrix Potter days, The Tale of Two Angry Mice. Or naughty mice. I don't know. All I know is they fucked some shit up. That was a good story. That's my favorite.
Yes, prairie dog slushies. You'd have to scrape them up off the ground and
you get some extra roughage that way.
Yeah. It
keeps you regular.
Prairie dog slushies.
Get some dirt in your.
Hey, you got to eat a peck of dirt before you die.
That's right. My grandfather used to say.
I remember that. That's right.
Oh, God. Save me.
You're going to be someone's grandpa someday, Alan.
Oh, hush.
Yeah.
And you're going to be the most crotchety, cantankerous grandpa ever.
I don't know about that.
Back in my day.
That's
you
right.
Damn kid.
He does Alan. That now. You do that now.
Alan, I'm going to buy you a rocking chair.
I love rocking chairs.
Damn straight.
Rocking chairs are awesome.
Get you a rocking chair
and a shotgun. That's all you need.
Shotgun, a rolled up newspaper.
And an M1 Garand.
That's right.
Got to throw that one in. That's thanks, right. Clint Eastwood, in his empty chair.
And I'll put on some dubstep and wait for Alan to tell me
damn.
What we all know he's going to say.
What?
You know, that's rather humorous.
That my music sounds like noise.
Oh, well, it does. Anything that lacks a melody sounds like noise.
Dubstep has a melody. It's just in the bass line.
The melody is apparently lost in the rattling of your taillights.
Yeah.
It's always my favorite. Somebody has like a big boosted stereo and they're driving around and all you can hear is the taillights going. Dude, the invention is a screwdriver.
Yeah. Tighten those things down, man.
got a tip for you. You're going to lose those things. They're expensive.
Replace the weather stripping on them or something.
JB Weld. JB Weld is your friend.
Personally, I think the funniest thing I saw was the nice painted ground effects on a car that was Three Shades of Bondo.
Ooh.
That was classy. I'm like,
oh yeah, I love those. You see the Bondo mobile and it's all gray primer and splotchy and maybe it's got a door of a different color or something and it's got a set of, you know, $300 a piece mag wheels on it, you know.
It's got a set of spree wheels, 22-inch spree wheels.
Yeah. And you're like, you're just
or a wing. Those are my favorite.
Oh yeah. Or the 3-foot
tall wing bolted on the back.
I like the one you see every now and then on the internet. That's like the one made out of 2x4s.
I like the ones that are held on by like lock washers.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
They just like literally bolted it to the trunk.
Those are good. Oh yeah.
Yep.
Kids these days.
It's a people at Walmart world and we're all stuck in it.
And next week on Clank and Clack, we're going to talk about 214-530-0036. You got about another, I don't know, 5 minutes to get a call in and then we're going to hang up. So, or we may hang up now. So,
what is that?
I don't know. I hear somebody's talking.
Huh. Weird.
Yeah. If it wasn't digital, I'd say we had some crosstalk in the wires, but.
Oh, man. For a second, I thought I forgot to mute my microphone.
Thanks, Jay.
Maybe it was me watching that guy blow off the prairie dog holes.
That's probably what it is. Oh, yeah.
Man. Send me that video. I'm hoping to do that.
Wait, does that mean this stuff comes through? Hold on, E-Foot.
Oh, shit.
So basically, can we say, to close out the show, that none of us really care about the election?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I think.
I mean,
well, I kind of sort of covered it for me in that I hate Elizabeth Warren and Obama because they're making me vote for Scott Brown and Mitt Romney, respectively.
Yeah, the only thing about this election, I honestly don't see any massive. I mean, whose president won't matter to the economy and whose president won't matter to, you know, a whole lot.
Now,
I would like to see Obama not be president again, just because he's, you know, a complete ass and you know, but that's, I mean, he just irritates me on a personal level. I don't know that his policies, I honestly don't think Romney would do anything that Obama didn't do and vice versa.
I don't want to see Obama elected because he's black. All right, there we go.
Yeah, might as well get it out there.
I don't want to see him reelected just because it's like he doesn't care. He doesn't give a shit. He wants to be president, but doesn't want to actually do anything.
Yeah, well, he wants to be the most famous guy ever, you know.
So
he wants to be the national eye candy.
Of course, the flip side of that is that I'm afraid Romney will want to do something, which, you know, oh, God.
We can't win.
Yeah.
Fuck this noise. I'm voting for Gary Johnson.
You know, but okay, here's the thing. On a personal level, I think that if, you know, if it was just like the neighbor, I would rather have Romney as a neighbor than Obama. Because, you know, I think he's just a better person, you know, as a person.
I had Romney as a neighbor, and he tried to take my guns away. the police department that was under both of us told me to fuck off when I went to try to get my carry permit.
Well, I don't think Romney had anything to do with that specifically.
But he didn't have anything to do with it.
Well, he didn't help you out, right? I mean, I go, well, you know, okay, here, it's just like George Bush. You know, if an assault weapons ban had crossed George Bush's desk, I bet you he would have signed it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Obama's the same way and Romney's the same way. If that crosses his desk, they're gonna sign it. You know, that's just the way they are. So, you know, thank goodness for, I'll put it this way. If Romney does get elected, I hope the Senate stays Democrat and the House stays Republican, because thank God for gridlock.
Yep. Well, and the other thing, too, the one bright part of a Romney presidency was that the media would start caring again.
Yeah, that's right. They'd start investigating what the government did wrong.
You know, they'd start looking into the shit that was going on. You haven't heard dick about the number of troops killed in Afghanistan. You haven't heard shit about Gitmo. Nothing. Nope. Not a fucking thing.
Not a word about gas prices. Nothing.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Gas is over $4 a gallon, but la-di-da, happy days are here again. Unemployment's up over 10%. No big.
Yep. Doesn't matter. Bumps in the road.
Obama's going to give you a free phone.
Imagine what would happen if Romney was president and the Libyan ambassador got killed because security sucked. You know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was entirely Bush's fault that September 11th happened.
Well, sure.
You know.
Actually, he did it. It was his plot.
It sprung. They started planning it the day he was inaugurated. Bill Clinton had nothing to do with it because it happened.
No, they weren't planning 9/11 when Bush got inaugurated. They were planning his Nobel Peace Prize. By the way, I want to beat a homeless person to death so I can get a Nobel Peace Prize.
Is that what you have to do?
It would work.
It worked for Obama.
That's right.
Did you know he's in bum fights?
No, I didn't know that.
That's right. I've already fucked myself out of the Nobel Peace Prize for science, because I'm actually a scientist and, you know, I have a degree in science, so therefore I can't get it.
But if I was
a lawyer fabricating data, then I'd be okay.
Well, couldn't you still get a prize for science in a discipline that when you studied?
That's true. I want to get my pro science of women's studies.
Yeah, you could get the Nobel Prize for physics or something. Because
I was really disappointed when I found out women's studies wasn't what I thought it was.
Oh no!
It's probably the exact opposite of what you thought it was, because women's studies seems to be all about hating men.
Unless you're into hairy armpits.
Wow.
Well, it's true. Well,
Breed is awfully quiet on that.
There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong in and of itself with hairy armpits. Because if there was, this podcast wouldn't have a title.
Thanks, Alan.
That needs to be a ringtone. Thanks, Alan. Breda, we love you.
We're almost out of time and nobody's calling, so.
Okay, yep. And I'm tired.
Yeah.
And we're done talking about Breda's squirrel.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks for not calling, everybody. And we're going to go away.
Thanks for boycotting
us. That's where I get to see a Viking.
And we'll see y'all next week.
And remember, you still have 2 days left to donate.
There will be
that's right.
That's right, for the Kilted to Kick Cancer thing. And it looks like Jay's going to win, because I don't see anybody else coming up with the scratch to beat you.
It's still a horse race.
No, it's not. Quit lying.
It is.
It is not.
I'm a firm believer in jinxing myself, so.
Yeah, all right.
Rocking horse race, maybe.
I was just going to say a program note. There will be a show next week, but there will not be a show the week after that. If anybody pays attention to this sort of thing, the week of October, whenever the hell it is.
Sixth.
Yeah. The 11th. There will be a show on the 4th. There will not be one on the 11th because I will be out of town.
Ah, the 4th, I will be, driving from Denver to someplace else.
Oh, cool.
But I've made that drive, Jay.
What's that?
I've made that drive.
So it is
the most surreal drive you will ever take in your entire life.
When the sign says
driven in Boston, Brita.
No, Jay, you have no idea.
Jay, when the sign says last gas for X number of miles,
gas up.
you stop and get gas because there ain't none. And the place,
they're not joking.
Yeah, they're not joking. So.
All right. Important safety tip. Thanks, Egon.
Yeah.
Yes. Seriously.
So yeah, if I'm in the car in time, because that's like 6 o'clock, whatever time that is, or is it?
It's six. No, it's seven.
Seven. Oh, seven. No problem. No problem at all.
7 Mountain Time is 9 Eastern.
Yeah, six was going to be tight because my flight gets in at 5:30.
Yep.
But 7 should be no problem. I should probably be hey, I'll be out of Denver, which means I'll have my gun on. Woohoo!
Awesome.
What's even better is because it's going to be a surreal drive, Jay's going to drop a whole bunch of mescaline.
It won't help.
Yeah,
I'm going to take a peyote.
Well, wait till you see those goddamn bats.
Will not help. All right. Well, see y'all next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. And thanks for calling in, those of you that did. And shame on you for those of you that didn't. We'll give you another chance next week.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.